سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So inshallah we'll continue with Abu Bakr's khutbah radiallahu anhu. So he says at the beginning, أيها الناس قد وليت عليكم ولست بخيركم فأحسنت فعينوني وإن أسأت فقوموني الصدق أمانة والكذب خيانة. So this is where we left off. So we were talking last week about the importance of honesty and sincerity, really the essence of our religion in terms of our spiritual life, which is the core of the religion. Because at the end of the day, everything we do, be it of political, economic, social, cultural import, is subordinate to our effort to attain to salvation. So everything, all aspects of our life are subordinate to our effort to attain salvation. So if we succeed economically, we get the house of our dreams, the car of our dreams, the job of our dreams, the children of our dreams, the spouse of our dreams, everything we dream from in terms of what we can have from this world, it doesn't guarantee us salvation. It just guarantees us a comfortable life in this world. But it's no guarantee for salvation. So all of those things, if we are blessed to live in an ideal political situation, we can live as Muslims freely, Islam is freely propagated, the laws of the land are compatible with Muslim teachings, but we have hardship. We have economic hardship, but we have an ideal political arrangement. And that the structure of society helps us and helps our children. You turn on television, there are Muslim cartoons. I'm not going to go there. But everything is conducive to our living prosperously as Muslim, our children prospering as Muslim, the curriculum, the studying Quran, memorizing over the 12 years of their basic education, pre-university or college education, they're memorizing Quran, 1/12 of the Quran every year. They're learning Arabic to a very high level. Each year it's a little higher, the curriculum is very well developed, and they're learning the things they need to know of worldly pursuits, the very developed medical and engineering, etc. All these programs are in place. Then what would it mean if, you know, we can't eat as much? No one's starving. Or our homes are very simple and basic. So they're not elaborate, they're not overly fancy, the ceilings are just 7 or 8 feet high and not 20 or 30 feet high. Who would prefer the former situation? We have everything of the world, but our salvation is jeopardized. Over the latter, where our salvation is enhanced, but our material living is a little bit lower than what it might ideally be. But no one's starving, no one's living in the streets. What would you take? And so if we're truthful, we would take the situation that will help us to orient ourselves towards Allah. Because as we mentioned last week, one of the definitions of our spiritual journey is sidqut tawajjuhi ilallah, sincerely orienting ourselves towards Allah. So being sincere and orienting ourselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when Abu Bakr says sidqu amana, the first realm of that trust is with Allah. Allah ta'ala has entrusted us with this religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us to respond to the call of the religion. When even before we are spirits brought into this body, so we're talking about our spiritual journey. Where did it all begin? إِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا أَنْ تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So when your Lord took either from Adam or from Adam's children, everyone who would descend from them. And then he called their spirits. And he caused them to witness against themselves. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَمَا نَتْ يُوَ لُورِ قَالُوا بَلَى. They said, certainly, شَهِدْنَا, we bear witness to that. Lest anyone says on the day of resurrection that we were heedless of this. So we know it, but it gets covered up by the world. And the truthful ones are the ones who can reaffirm what they've affirmed in pre-temporal, in the pre-temporal realm, before coming into this world of time and place. They affirm that Allah is our Lord. We affirm that Allah is our Lord. And some of us reaffirm that once we're in this temporal realm, and some of us don't. And so who affirms it? The truthful. So we mentioned last week again, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. Be mindful of Allah and keep yourself in the presence of the truthful. So we're tested for our truthfulness. Well, that's one of the great tests that we have as Muslims. Are we truthful or are we liars? So Abu Bakr is creating a realm where people can deliver the amana they have to be truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be truthful to their fellow humans. So we have an amana. When someone asks something of us, they're trusting in us. This is the amana. And when we deceive them, we betray them. As-sidqu amana wal-kadhibu khiyana. So I'm trusting that you will give me the right answer. How do I get to here? How do I fix my car? How do I help to rectify my soul? So I'm trusting you to give me a truthful and sincere answer. So if you betray that, if you deceive me, or you lie to me, then you've betrayed the trust that I've placed with you. And we're answerable for that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah. And now why? Because Allah commands us to deliver the trust. And so when we fail to do so, we're rebelling against Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَنَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. Which is what we'll talk about next. Allah commands you that you deliver the trust to its rightful possessors. So this is a command from Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَنَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And when you judge between people or rule over people, that you do so with justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعْمَ يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. What an excellent thing Allah commands, and Allah is all hearing, all seeing. So, this is a trust from Allah. This is a trust from Allah. And that being the case, we have to constantly remind ourselves, brothers and sisters. We have to remind ourselves. We're not living lives that are divorced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not living in a realm that Allah ta'ala is absent from. We're not living in a realm that's free from the control of Allah. And we shouldn't be like the people who believe that, and in believing that, they deceive themselves. They deceive themselves, and then the truth is known. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَافُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. So, you're distracted by the piling up of the things of the world. That's what people are deceived into believing. They're deceived into believing there's nothing beyond this. They're deceived into believing that when you die, you just disintegrate, like this table will eventually disintegrate, and that's the end of their fare. But when we visit the grave, we'll know. Because now, the reality of the next life is made known to us. And we know that it wasn't the end of us. And the animals will get a little, in the dominant opinion, a little taste of the Akhirah until they take qisas. So they'll have retribution against each other. The sheep with the horn that gored the defensive sheep will have qisas yawm al-qiyamah. Animals who are abused by people, those animals will have retribution yawm al-qiyamah. Then after they've exacted this, and this is from the adl, this is from the justice of Allah. And after they've exacted their retribution, what will they say? At the end of عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ, what's the last verse? وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. After the animals have their retribution, Allah Ta'ala will command them, كُونِي تُرَابًا, become dust. And that's it from them. And then the human being who's not becoming dust, who didn't become dust like the table, and he sees it's all over for the animals. وَيَقُولُ كَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. The one who has rejected the truth, and rejected the faith, and rejected the prophets, and rejected the idea of a life after this life, just as there was a life before this life. Any of you remember what was happening in the womb of your mother? We were alive, right? The doctor put the stethoscope on. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Once in a while we kicked. The mom's sitting there. We were alive, but we don't remember anything of that life. Just as we were alive when we were that egg. Egg's living. We're in there. And we're alive when we were the sperm. And we were alive when we were not the egg or the sperm, but there was something passed down to our parents, from their parents, from their parents, and their genetic makeup. That's physical stuff. But it has metaphysical qualities. We were alive. So we're just moving forward. Then we came into this life of consciousness. And then we get into the grave. And when we visit the grave, we realize, uh-oh, I'm still alive. What's going to happen now? The prophets have told us. Will we believe them in He, or will we ignore them? In any case, so Allahumma salli ala Rasulillah, as-sidqu amana, inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha. So Abu Bakr mentioned as-sidqu amana. Well, kadhib, so after the kadhib, then we mentioned last, he talks about justice. Ad'aifu fikum qawiyun 'indi hatta akhudha له حقا والقوي فيكم ضعيف عندي حتى آخذ منه الحق إن شاء الله. Justice, fairness for the weak, fairness for the poor, and fairness with the strong and the powerful and the influential. Everyone's treated justly. He's going to get his right. And if he refuses, or she, to give him his right, then we're going to take it from him, not oppressing him, but being just to the aggrieved party. But before that, so, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ اتَّحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. So all of these elements, truthfulness, the trust, justice, all of these themes that are mentioned in the Qur'an, or in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr is bringing these into this address to remind the people. So after reminding them, we talked about this last week, as-sidqu amana. Truthfulness is a sacred trust. Al-majalis bil-amana. So when we gather like this, there's a trust. If we weren't filming and live streaming, we might say some things that we shouldn't say with the camera there. Not because anything illegal or anything treacherous, but maybe people out there, they don't understand the context. Because everyone here, I believe, is Muslim. Maybe some person is not Muslim. There's a lot of things about the religion that they just don't understand. So they might hear something and they believe it means one thing, where all of you know and believe it means something entirely different from what they believe. And so when we gather together, what we discuss is a sacred trust. And one thing we mentioned, I don't know, maybe here in another context, think how much longer the cell phone has made everyone's hisab. Because we're, every word we utter, we're accountable for. So think how exponentially our speech has increased. Some of it's good, like checking up on your loved ones and the absent, just call them up, are you okay? You need an emergency situation, you don't have to wait 20 minutes to find a payphone, you're driving down the road, you got the car phone in the car. But a lot of it's not good. It's just yakking, more opportunities for riba, more opportunities for backbiting, slander, more opportunities to lie, more opportunity for fudul al-kalam, just excessive, superfluous speech, more opportunity al-kalam fi ma la ya'ni, the speech in those things that don't concern us, more opportunities for excessive joking and merriment. We joke around sometimes, but just now think of the enhanced opportunities. Less time for reflection. We used to jump in our car to ride somewhere to just reflect for a little while. No one can bother me here. Just drive out into the country. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful day. Can't do that anymore. You drive in the country, bring, bring. And yak, 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 yak. This enhanced opportunities to talk and elongating our hisab. Elongating our hisab. So we need all the help and support we can get. Anyway, so he mentions وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَلَمَانَ الْعَدْلِ. All of these things Abu Bakr is bringing in. So he then says, well, كَذِبُ خِيَانَ. Lying is treachery. So we mentioned last week, just the half that's relevant here, اللهم صل رسول الله. الكذب يهدي إلى الفجور والفجور إن الكذب يهدي إلى الفجور وإن الفجور يهدي إلى النار. والرجل اللهم صل رسول الله. ولا يزال الرجل يعني يكذب حتى يكتب عند الله كذابا. And the person continues to lie, كما قال, until they're recorded as not just a liar, كاذبا, كذابا with Allah. Why? They continue to lie and to lie and to lie and to lie. until they're not just a person who slips into lying, they're constantly lying. And once a person becomes accustomed to lying in little things, lying in big things don't bother the person anymore. He said, لَا ذَنْبَ لَا صَغِيرَةَ مَعَ الْإِسْرَارِ. There's no lesser sin if one persists in sin. Because why? The persistence in sin, this lowers the reverence and respect or the aversion towards sinning to such a point that one will inevitably not fall into the larger sins. لَا صَغِيرَةَ مَعَ الْإِسْرَارِ. There's no lesser sin when a person persists in sinning. وَلَا كَبِيرَةَ مَعَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. And there's no major sin as long as one repents from it. So, when one continues to lie and to lie, is no longer kadhib, because now they tell lies constantly and they tell larger and larger lies. And this is critical for sound political order. So as our political order here disintegrates, what's the quality of our political leaders? Who do we have running for president? Two big liars. I mean, am I making this up? They have two big liars. They stand in front of you and lie out of their teeth. You're like, subhanAllah, the last debate, he said, she said, like, what happened? And so that's indicative. That's indicative of the decline of our political morality. And so Abu Bakr is reminding us, and this is a general rule that transcends Islam, that one of the foundations of political morality is truthfulness. That's one of the foundations of political morality, is truthfulness. And so a sidqu amana. So honesty is a sacred trust owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a trust we owe to each other. And I failed to mention, it's a trust that we owe to ourselves. Because we are determining the fate of our soul. Our actions and our speech is determining the fate of our soul. So we have a responsibility to our soul. Not to oppress our soul. And not to burden it. And when we sin, we have a responsibility to repent from that sin so that we don't burden our souls down with a mountain of sin. And then we meet our Lord and we're carrying that mountain with us. So when we lie, we're betraying that trust with kadhibu khiyana. And a person continues to lie and continues to lie until they're recorded with Allah. Not as just kadhib and kadhaba. And that's how we meet Allah. And so we have to meet Allah reflecting and thinking about what we do to prepare for the meeting. There are now Muslims killing each other with impunity. Of course, everyone has an excuse. They're Shi'i, they're Sunni, they're not real Muslims, they work for the government, they're blah, whatever. They're Sufis, they're not real worshipers, they're witches. They believe in witchcraft and sorcery. They deserve to die. They're the wrong kind of Muslim. They're not real Muslims. Everyone has an excuse. But the bottom line, in terms of being cognizant, how we meet Allah, so, حَتَّى يُكْتَبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابَ, until they're written with Allah as a liar. مَنْ أَعَانَ عَلَى قَتْلِ مُؤْمِنٍ وَلَوْ بِشَطْرِ كَلِمَةٍ يَلْقَى اللَّهَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَكْتُوبًا بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ آيِسٌ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. SubhanAllah, آيِسٌ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Whoever contributes in killing a believer even by uttering half a word, they will meet Allah on the day of resurrection, written across their forehead, maktub an bayna aynayhi, I have despaired of Allah's mercy. That's how anyone, who would want to meet Allah like that? Who would want to meet Allah like that? And we're going to meet Allah. Ya ayyuhal insan. Muslim, Buddhist, Christian, Jew, atheist, Hindu, Mish'arif, whatever. We're all going to meet Allah. We're all going to meet Allah, brothers and sisters. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحَى فَمُلَاقِي. You're toiling to meet your Lord, and surely you will meet Him. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. One who longs and loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet them. Some people, I don't know how they could love to meet Allah. And written across your forehead, I have despaired of Allah's mercy. I don't know how they can love to meet Allah. And Allah, they're recorded with Allah as being a liar. So, that's what taqwa. Ittaqullah. Be mindful of Allah. And literally, mindfulness that allows you to be what? To ward off the punishment. By doing what? Implementing the orders, avoiding the prohibitions. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And be, and keep yourself amongst the truthful. Keep yourself amongst the truthful. So be mindful of Allah, keep yourself amongst the truthful, because lying is treachery. وَالْكَذِبُوا خِيَانَ. Lying is treachery. And then he says, رضي الله عنه والضعيف فيكم قوي عندي حتى آخذ له حق. One weak amongst you is strong with me and until I take the right that's owed to him. والقوي فيكم ضعيف عندي حتى آخذ منه الحق إن شاء الله. And the one who is strong amongst you is weak with me until I take from him the right that's owed to others. This is justice, just impartial. I'm not favoring the poor, I'm securing their rights. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm not favoring the weak, I'm securing their rights, and I'm also taking from them the right they might owe to others. Just impartiality. And this is justice, this is adl. So just as we mentioned last week, they started to recite at the end of the khutbahs, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. That Allah commands, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْأَحْسَانِ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. So the ihsan was at the beginning of the speech. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَعِينُونِ. So the ihsan is at the beginning of the speech. Here's the adl. فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتُ فَعِينُونِ أَدْعِيفُ فِيكُمْ قَوِيٌّ عِنْدِي حَتَّى أَخُذَ مِنْهُ الْحَقَّ حَتَّى أَخُذُ لَهُ حَقَّ. If you're weak, you're strong with me. This is the justice. The word adl, which is what he's expressing, not in the words, but through his proclamation of fair treatment, is rooted in from a group of words in Arabic they call al-abdad. Abdad. One word has two opposing meanings. So for example, wal-layli idha as'as. What does wal-layli idha as'as, what does that mean? Anybody? وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ.
Intensified, it's our darkness.
When the darkness?
Intensified.
So when the darkness spreads over and intensifies. No, it does mean that, but it also means when the darkness leaves. عَسْعَسْ مِنَ الْأَبْدَادِ. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ. So Here's the night. This is a good representative of the night. So as the darkness spreads over, as asalay, and when the darkness leaves. So al-adad, when it comes and when it goes. Well, adl, kadhalika min al-adad. The word adl is also from these single words that have two opposing meanings. So al-adl means al-istiwa, so it means to be straight. And another meaning, al-i'wijaj. It also means to be crooked. So it means to be straight, and it means to be crooked. So straight in the sense of maintaining a middle course, straight down the middle, if you will. So, فَعَدَلَتْ فِي الطَّرِيقِ. He went straight down the road. وَعَدَلَتْ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. He went off the road. And so it means to be straight and to be crooked. Obviously, our meaning here is to be straight, linguistically. So it has another, and we'll come back to some of the Shari meanings, another meaning of adl, another aspect of it. It can be used as a masdar. Al-adlu jayyid. Justice is great. But it can also be used as a sifa, and as an adjective. And when it's used as an adjective, this is like a nice latif, a nice little subtle point. When adl is used as an adjective, it doesn't discriminate. It lives up to its name. So, في اللغة, in the Arabic language, نقول, we say, رجل عدل وامرأة عدل ورجلان عدل وامرأتان عدل ورجال عدل ونساء نساء العدل. So, or نساء العدل عدل. So it's always the same. Brothers dealing with one man or one woman, two men or two women, three or more men or three or more women, it never changes. And that's the essence of justice, is maintaining a consistent, unchangeable standard in dealing with everyone. So adl lives up to his name. So that's a nice little point that we can make, inshallah ta'ala. So adl is also from the names of Allah. So al-adl, meaning bihaqqillah, one who has absolutely no partiality in his rulings. So Allah has no partiality in his rulings. So Allah is not impartial to anyone. Allah Ta'ala establishes a rule of law, min al-ahkam al-kawniya, how Allah deals with his creation. لا تبديل بكلمات الله. The words of Allah, there's no change. ولن تجد لسنة الله تبديلا. ولن تجد لسنة الله تحويلا. You'll find no alteration in the way that Allah deals with His creation. So it's totally impartial. In the technical language of the theologians, istilahan, al-adl, it means one definition, فصل الحكم على ما في كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So, establishing a ruling based on what's in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, is justice. And if the origin of a ruling is that it's unchanging, its applicability might change. So when we're forced by circumstance to eat pork or to drink wine to save our lives, وَإِيَّاهُ اللَّهُ, may Allah spare us from, and we seek refuge with Allah that we're ever in that situation, but it's lawful. But the pork or the alcohol doesn't become lawful. Doesn't become lawful. We just have a license, a rukhsa, to consume it to save our lives. But the hukum doesn't change. The ruling is the same. And that's why it's just enough to save our life and not, okay, it's halal now. No, it's still haram. But there's a rukhsah. There's a license that we have to consume it because our life is at stake, and so therefore we can change it, save our lives. So the case of alcohol, there's a clear example. If you look at the prioritizing of rulings, the first in terms of maqasid, the first maqsad of Sharia is preserving religion. After that, preserving life, and then preserving the intellect, and then preserving the family, and then preserving the wealth, and some say honor, or ird or man. So preserving our intellect is of a lesser priority than preserving life. Life is a higher priority. So if we have to do something that is a threat to our intellect to preserve our life, then that thing becomes, in that circumstance, allowable. So the ruling doesn't change, but in terms of this prioritization, it becomes something that's allowable. So the ulama have developed ways to provide flexibility in the religion while still preserving its integrity, so that religion itself can endure as a phenomenon in the world. Because once we start, oh, that's not lawful anymore, that's, oh, those were the old days, before you know it, the religion is gone. And we'll have bands in the masjid for Juma. I'm going to MCC, they have a good bass player. Imam al-Jurjani in his Ta'rifat, which is a lexicon of theological terminology, he says, Al-Adlu, Al-Amru Mutawassatu, Bain al-Ifrati wa al-Tafriq. So he said, it's a middle affair between excessiveness and shortcoming. So between being excessive and falling short. So justice is to maintain a middle course. And we're the middle nation. And being the middle nation, you'll find on many, many issues, we come down in the middle. So, for example, we're in the middle between capitalism and communism. So the capitalist says, your money is your money, and you have a right to dispose of it any way you choose. And the communist says, your money belongs to the society, and it's social property. And Islam says, your money is your money, but there's a right in your money for the poor and others. And there's so zakat is owed in your money, sadaqah, in certain circumstances, or even in emergency situations, some of your wealth can be taken to deal with that emergency. And so your wealth is your private property, and you can dispose of it any way you choose, up to a point. And so it's a middle course between one extreme and the other. And you can find many, many, many different issues where Islam comes down right in the middle. There was a saying, it's a lengthy saying, but I started to type it out, and then it was so long, so I'll bring the book and read it from the book. I grabbed the wrong book. But I'll read the beginning of it, what I typed out, inshallah. So, one of the rhetors, one of the bulagha, the people of balagha, really eloquent speech, accompanied by lofty thoughts. He said, "Inna al-adla mizanu Allah alladhi wada'ahu lil-khalq wa nasabahu lil-haq." He says, justice, al-adlu, is the scale of Allah which He has established for the benefit either of the creation or humanity. A khalq in some context is the entire creation, in some context is humanity. And he said, and he set it up for the sake of the truth. فَلَا تُخَالِفُ فِي مِزَانِهِ. Don't oppose him in his scale. وَلَا تُعَرِضْهُ فِي سُلْطَانِهِ. And don't reject his authority. وَاسْتَعِنْ عَلَى الْعَدْلِ بِخَلَّتَيْنِ كِلَّةُ الطَّمَعِ وَكَثْرَةُ الْوَرَعِ. And he says that seek the help to be just in two qualities, a paucity of greed and an abundance of scrupulousness, being extra careful in one's religion. So a paucity of greed, not longing for other people's things and properties and possessions. So covetousness, probably a better word. So in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's possessions. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. So scarcity of greed or covetousness and an abundance of extra care in one's religion. وَكَثْرَةُ الْوَرَى. Being excessively careful in your religion. So wara is, I'm not sure if this is halal or not, so I avoid it. Even though I don't know it's haram, but just fearing that it might be haram, I avoid it. Even though I can drink it, I have no proof that it's haram, but I'm being careful. It's like something like near beer. Oh, this is non-alcoholic. But you heard, but it still ferments, so it has like 3% alcohol. I'm not going to touch it. It says not, so the person with no wara, that says, yo, look, right, this is non-alcoholic. Come on, don't be such a fanatic. But the person with wara says, well, you know, it can ferment. And I heard that it ferments and it has some alcohol in it, so I'm not going to touch it. That's why. تَرْكُ مَا لَا بِهِ بَأْسِ خَوْفًا مِمَّا بِهِ الْبَأْسِ. يعني تَرْكُ مَا بَأْسَ بِهِ خَوْفًا مِمَّا بِهِ بَأْسِ. So leaving that which is okay, fearing that it might contain or lead to something that's not okay. So it's haram for us, and I'd be guilty myself occasionally on an airplane or something, watching a movie. We shouldn't watch people being killed. We shouldn't watch people sinning. And so a wara is, you know, I'm not watching television. People getting killed left and right. I think the average child, before they reach the age of adulthood, has seen 15,000 murders on television, or something like that. And so what does that do to that child's heart? What does it do to an adult's heart? And subhanAllah, I think the Prophet ﷺ at the end of time is going to be, he said, Harj. وَمَنْ حَرْجُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الْقَتْلُ الْقَتْلُ. Murder, murder. Maybe one of the means that's leading to the excess of murders we see is just people becoming desensitized to murder. And so the Prophet ﷺ knew at the end of time we're going to have these screens everywhere. And those screens would desensitize us to killing. That's how, and some of you are familiar with Colonel David Grossman on killing. He did a study on the role of video games in desensitizing people to killing. Using what? These video games use Pavlovian response stimuli technique. And that's how historically the kill ratio in war was 15%. In other words, 15% of all soldiers who had an opportunity to kill another human being actually did it, which means 85% didn't. And that was consistent right up to World War II. In Vietnam, the kill ratio went up to 90%. What happened between the end of World War II and Vietnam? Pavlovian Revolution in psychology, stimulus response. And so the military began using the early versions of video games. So target pops up, bam, you kill it. Target pops up, bam, you kill it. To desensitize people to killing. But it worked in a sense, right? That the kill ratio went up. They're happy, okay. Now we have an efficient army. What else went up when the kill rate went up? Suicides. Right? Every day in this country, 18 veterans somewhere kill themselves. Over 6,000 a year, veteran suicides. And so human beings haven't been wired to kill each other. We haven't been wired to kill each other. And so, may Allah give us tawfiq. That's not what it means to be human. To be human is to love each other. We're social animals. And so that means we coexist with each other. Which most of us do, most of the time. The overwhelming majority of people on this planet have never killed and never will kill anybody. That's consistent with our nature. The overwhelming majority of people right now aren't involved in a war-torn situation. Even in a place like Syria, may Allah give people relief there. Everyone, everywhere isn't killing someone. The overwhelming majority of the how many million are left there, they're not killing anybody. It's a minority. That's who we are as human beings. And our job is to even try to check that minority to the best of our ability. Because Allah sanctified life. In any case, so he says, and don't reject or compete with him in his authority. Was'an al-'adli. And so, seek help to be just with two qualities, a paucity of covetousness, kallati tamai wa kathrati wari. Fa idha kana al-'adl min ihda qawa'id ad-dunya dunya allati lan tadhama laha illa bihi wa la salaha fiha illa ma'ahu wajaba an yabda'a بعدل الإنسان في نفسه ثم بعد ذلك في غيره. And then I stop writing. So anyway, so he says that if justice is one of the pillars of the world, one of the foundations of the world, which there is no order for the world except with it, and there's no good in it except along with it, it's incumbent that the human being starts by being just to himself and then being just to others. Because at the end of the day, like I gave a talk recently about just saw the cop killings and everything. And I said, you know, we can address the issue at a structural level, because a lot of the people were saying, you know, institutional racism, structural injustice, that's all true. And there are people talking about that. That's what Black Lives Matter, they're talking about that. But there's another level And that's the individual level, because human human institutions, be it the family, be it the police department, be it the government, are made up of collections of individuals. And the Muslim's primary job is to address it at the individual level. Because at the end of the day, an individual human being is pulling that trigger. Not an entire police department. Not an entire army. And so our job is to encourage the sanctity of life and to encourage justice so that no life is taken unjustly. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Don't murder the life Allah has sanctified except with just cause. إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. So that's our job as Muslims. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's trying to establish an order where those truths prevail. He's trying to establish an order where those truths prevail as the foundation of the socio-political order. So we'll stop there, inshallah. Inshallah, give you tawfiq. وزادكم الله في كل خير وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما عملا قبل أخوان سيدك الكريم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله